think people forget it's just fun to ride a bike. You know? You've got all the health benefits, the cost benefits, all that stuff, but overall, it's just fun. And people forget that. That's too bad.
Well, can you relate to that? I can. I'm just, as soon as I'm done with this podcast, I'm getting on my bike. It's a beautiful Friday afternoon, and I've been looking forward to it all morning. And I'm Frank Peters, and you're listening to CDM Cyclist. And today, my guest, Mike McKisson of Tucson Velo, on the show today, talking about bicycle life, bicycle culture, in Tucson, Arizona. But first, let me say thank you to my sponsor. That's BikeTiresDirect.com. Of course, tires, gear, apparel, everything you need to equip your bike safely. Check them out, please. BikeTiresDirect.com. Well, I was in Tucson for a lovely four-day weekend. Oh, boy, it was super nice. This time of year, Tucson, weather of your dreams. Weather to die for. And I had such a hard time making up my mind. Was I going to fly? I had things I wanted to do in Phoenix, too. And that would complicate my travel. And then at the kind of the last minute, I got a new fold-up bike, and that kind of cinched it for me. I would throw that in the trunk, travel very easily, and attend Ciclovia Tucson, where once a year, for the second year in a row now, they close down a five-mile loop of city streets in downtown Tucson. It's a big bike party. It's a big party, period. And that's where I bumped into Mike McKisson. I had talked to him in email, of course, but that's where we met, and we were going to meet Tuesday morning for a chat about Tucson. Let's listen.
You know, I'm interested in advocacy. You made an interesting comment at the Ciclovia the other day, Mike. Did I get this right? That Tucson, it was kind of easy getting all of this bike infrastructure put together. Advocacy here lags a little bit. Is that?
Yeah, Tucson has been really fortunate that sort of city officials and county officials have been really on board with cycling for a long time. And so they've just been putting down bike lanes for years.
That's nice, because as you know, it's a fight in a lot of communities, huh?
Yeah, it is a fight in a lot of communities. And like I said, we've just had it really well here. I mean, it's been great. But now we're at a point where, because we've had it so great, and we've been putting down so many miles of bike lanes and that sort of thing, that we don't really have a big advocacy focus. And so now that we want to push beyond just the standard laying down bike lanes, we want to move to the next level, we're having a little bit of a hard time doing that because we don't have a focused group that's devoted to advocacy. Luckily, just recently a group is formed called Living Streets Alliance. Mm-hmm. And they're really advocating for kind of holistic streets. So not just bikes, also pedestrians, but trying to make streets a better place for everyone, not just cars.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting challenge. You've got such a great, you might say, like, foundation here in town. I found you, Mike, through your blog. Tell everybody, what's your blog?
So I run TucsonVelo.com. So I started it about a year and 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. I'm a journalist by training and by degree. I went to the University of Arizona and got a journalism degree. And I used to work for the local paper and the online department, and I graduated. And the U of A offered me a job, and I took it. And so I do a lot of teaching, but I was kind of missing actually practicing journalism. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was one website in town, TucsonBikeLawyer.com. It was kind of the news source for Tucson cyclists, but I found myself going several times a day, and nothing was new because he's a lawyer and he's busy and he doesn't have time to update. And I realized that I had the skills necessary to do what I wanted to see on another site, and talked with him, and he was totally for it. And so I started it, and try and post something new every single day.
Oh, well, I know that's a lot of work. Now, you've got the computer skills to go with your journalism talents.
Yeah, so I in school, while I was learning the journalism, I also started teaching on my own the HTML, database management, that sort of thing. So yeah,
that's basically all it takes, isn't it? Your HTML jockey kind of writing a blog.
It's getting so easy now. I mean, anyone can really start a blog for $15 a year. You can go to WordPress.com, get your own domain name, and start a blog. So it's the boundaries for creating blogs have come down, so easily now. It's just really incredibly easy to start your own site.
Mm-hmm. And do you track the size of your audience?
I do. We're growing, and I think every month I've seen a steady increase. Right now we're at about 15,000 visits a month. And I'm very Tucson centric. I don't do national stories. There's so many other bloggers and people out there doing national stuff. So
I can relate. Yeah.
I really just focus on Tucson and what's happening in the Tucson community and try and make it a real resource for cyclists here.
It's exciting to see that audience grow. Huh? I can relate to that. I just crossed 15,000 this month.
Nice.
My first 15,000 audience month. Nice. And,
it was really unfortunate. But the last couple of months have been really big. I was at a local coffee shop one day with my wife, and she sort of elbows me and says, "I think that's our congresswoman, and she's dressed up like she just got off a bike." And so I went and said, "Oh, hi, I'm Miss Giffords," and it was Gabrielle Giffords. And so I talked to her about her bike ride that day and why she likes cycling and that sort of thing. And so I'd had that on since October. And then after the unfortunate shootings, a lot of people found that story and linked to it and had a lot of traffic coming that way. Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate, but those kinds of events, are what drive a lot of traffic to your site, and hopefully many of them will keep coming back. Huh?
Yeah. And the thing that I was happy about is I think that a lot of people had no idea that she was a cyclist.
Yeah.
And so I think it really educated the cycling community that she was one of us. Sort of brings that connection to mm-hmm. cyclists.
Mm-hmm. And we need advocates in Congress, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a trickle-down effect. The people you can have higher up who are advocating for cycling, the better it's going to be for everyone. Yeah.
Have you always been here in Tucson, or are you a transplant?
I was born in Phoenix. I moved to Missouri when I was, five, and then... I moved back here when I was 8, so I've been here most of my life.
I've been here a long time.
Yeah, 22 years.
And Tucson, I've been reading up on it, anticipating my trip here. I came here for a financial conference. It was held yesterday right here in the hotel. And then what I try to do is find bicycle experts while I'm at a financial conference and kind of do interviews in both subjects. And as I was doing my research, I found out Tucson's really nationally recognized, isn't it, as a great cycling community, huh?
Yeah, we are. We're constantly in one of the top 10 cycling cities in the country.
That surprised me. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Tucson is a really unique place. People have a vision of Tucson as being like dirt roads and like horse and buggies still.
Yeah, right. Cowboy.
Yeah. And we're not, clearly, but we have a little bit of that sort of still Wild West.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, rattlesnakes on the menu here.
Oh, there you go. Did you try it?
No, I didn't.
I've never tried it either. I hear it tastes like chicken. We are really, really well known for road cycling, sort of the recreational / road cycling. Professional teams come out here and train. Last year, Team Radio Shack and Lance Armstrong came out here and spent time at their sort of training camp out here. And so that's what I think we're best known for. There's a big movement to try and increase sort of the everyday utility cycling aspect of Tucson. We have I don't even remember what the actual number is, but it's something like 800 miles of bikeways,
wow,
500 miles of bike lanes. I mean, it's really, you look at the Tucson bike map and you can look at where you live and where you want to go, and pretty much you can get there by a bike lane.
Yeah.
Easily. Now the push is trying to find those low stress bikeways, bike boulevards, things that are not on the major streets to get the people who are interested, but not really confident, to get them out on their bikes.
Well, a lot of cyclists like myself. I'll ride on the busy streets, but I prefer the quiet of some of these streets. So when I got here Saturday, I knew the Ciclovia Sunday. I wanted to, get out there Saturday, evening and kind of find my way. And I discovered, is it 3rd Street?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic route.
Mm-hmm.
Take me all the way from the hotel to campus, and I'm more than halfway there.
Yeah. And so that's not technically yet a bike boulevard. It's missing some of the features, but it will be upgraded to be a full bike boulevard.
I would love to have that in my community, though. You had specific intersection designs in some cases for cyclists.
Yeah, divert traffic from those streets, so to try and prevent it becoming a cut-through street for people and get them back out onto the major roads, motorists, and really prioritize bike travel.
And one of the great advantages you have, you get a lot of flat, and you get a huge grid.
Yes.
That's a big advantage, isn't it? Talk about natural advantages. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you look at our bike map, you see that the urban core has that really nice grid system, and you can really get kind of anywhere, and you have several options. And then as you start getting outside of the grid, the urban core, you start to see that break down a little bit. But the county, which is sort of the government of that area, has done a really good job mm-hmm. trying to keep sort of continuity through that section, even though the grid system is kind of blown up at that point.
And then today on your blog, you did a post. What did you call it, Mike?
What did I call it? Well, it's just kind of low-stress bike ways.
Yeah, low-stress, yeah.
So we had Ciclovia on Sunday, and we saw thousands of cyclists out there, thousands of people that, maybe aren't really confident. We saw tons of families.
And everyone weekend riders only, maybe.
Yeah, and we saw tons of people just smiling. And so I thought that what a great way to sit and maybe take some of those people who really want to ride their bikes, but only are going to do it on places where there aren't cars, and sort of show them that there are other options. As a motorist, when you're driving to work, you're going to take an arterial road and you're going to see that there's a bike lane on there, but you're also going to see the hundreds of other cars that are on the street, the people who are not really paying attention, putting on makeup, texting. And you think, I'm not getting on that road on a bicycle. What those motorists often don't see is that there are these other alternatives, these streets that will take you to the same place, that run parallel to the arterial road, but don't have a zillion cars on them. So I work at the University of Arizona, and I can take two sort of low-stress bikeways home. It's a little out of my way. It probably adds about a mile, but I've counted on that how many cars have passed me or I've passed on those two streets on my way home. And there's been days where it's been 3.
Yeah.
And it's a 6-7 mile ride.
And it is a little bit of a like insider knowledge, right? Like I come to town, I stumbled into 3rd Street, which is fantastic. But when I saw your list today, I wish I had known it before I came, because I would have been all over. I would have chased down those routes just to get around.
Yeah, it is. It is insider knowledge. And I think that's one of the big challenges. You can have all the infrastructure in the world, but unless you can tell people and explain to people, why this one is preferential over the other one, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things that I know that the advocacy group here in Tucson's been trying to determine how they're going to work that, trying to get the word out. And so they've been doing like family friendly rides, and trying to take, organized rides to the zoo, but use those low stress bike ways to show people that you can use them instead of major streets.
And then your story you were telling me earlier got picked up by the local newspaper, huh?
Yeah. I just before our interview, I was checking our traffic and noticed that there was a big spike in traffic and saw that the local newspaper posted an update with a link to it talking about how you could, ride these low stress bike ways.
And I'll do the same, Mike. My listeners know they come to the website and I'll have links to Mike's blog and this terrific article. If you're getting an excuse to come to Tucson anytime soon, you'll want to check out some of these roads. Now, one thing I know is popular. I have a little bit of family here, very little, but a cousin, she loves to ride. She loves the hills. You've got great hills around the city, huh? And that attracts a certain crowd, huh?
It does. It does. It goes back to that kind of the training capital of the world, or the training capital of the country is what I think they've dubbed Tucson. But we've got Mount Lemmon, which is in several books is like one of the top roads to ride.
Looks pretty tough.
It's 20, about 30 miles probably up. Yeah. The nice thing about it though is that it's not the grade isn't crazy. It sort of averages 4 to 6% the whole way up. Just really, really long. Several years ago, gosh, probably 10 years ago or so, when Lance was in his prime and winning all the Tour de France's, he rented a cabin on top of Mount Lemmon. He would ride down in the morning, go out and ride, do his training ride, and then ride back up in the evening, to finish off his day. So it's a kind of a world-class climb. And there's another one that's, been in lots of books about one of the rides you must do before you die is Saguaro National Park East. Mm-hmm. It's a 8-mile loop with one-way traffic, and it's just rolling hills, and it's in the middle of the desert, and it's just absolutely stunning. And it's a lot of fun because it's kind of like a roller coaster on your bike.
Oh, that does sound nice, yeah. So how about yourself personally? What kind of riding are you doing, Mike?
Well, it's actually interesting. I have not been riding incredibly long. I started I started when I was a little kid, did all that. You get 16, you get your driver's license and
forget about
a bike. But I came back to it, probably about 3 years ago now, actually. And I was about, 300 pounds. And,
wow. I would never guess.
Yeah.
You look like the classic cyclist now.
Yeah. So, overweight, unhealthy, high blood pressure, unhappy. A friend got me on a bike. I started riding and...
I can't believe you're telling me this. I know you're a credible guy, but I can't picture that. Look at you today. I've got a picture of Mike on the blog too. Come by and check it out.
And, I just started...
So it had a huge impact.
Yeah.
That, huh?
Yeah. I fell in love with it. I fell in love with riding my bike and, I'm kind of a competitive guy sometimes. And so my friend that I would ride with would always sort of leave me in the dust, and that annoyed me. And I said, well, if I want to be better as a cyclist, I need to lose some weight. And so I started riding more and, eating better and started shedding the pounds. And so in about a year and a half, I lost 135 pounds.
Wow.
Because of a bike.
Wow.
And once I started finished that sort of transformation, I really got much more interested in sort of everyday transportation cycling, mm-hmm. And utility cycling.
Lifestyle.
Yeah. I mean, I still do the road rides. I still, go out there. We have a youth cycling team here in town that kind of takes kids that maybe don't fit the mold for athletes. They're not going to be the football player. And they bring them into El Grupo is the club. And they provide them bikes, and it's one of my greatest joys to go out and ride with them. I love riding with them, but I still really have just gotten more passionate about sort of transportation, mm-hmm. lifestyle, mm-hmm. riding. My family and I ride as much as possible. I have a daughter who is 16 months now, and so we've got our bike seat on my extra cycle that we go kind of everywhere. And we recently just sold our second car, so now we're a one car family.
So you're saving money too. Huh?
Yeah. Well, they say what? It's like $8,000 to $10,000 a year to own a car.
Easy.
So, yeah.
And less stress to boot.
Yeah. I think people forget it's just fun to ride a bike, and you've got all the health benefits, the cost benefits, all that stuff, but overall it's just fun. And, people forget that. That's too bad.
I brought a brand new bike with me on this trip, a fold-up, one of the Breezer puts their name on it. It's a Dahon makes it, right? And I met a friend in Phoenix on the way here, and we had lunch together. And when he saw me, he didn't see any bike rack, and he says, oh, I would have thought you brought your bike. And I open up the trunk, and there it is. He admires it. I said, well, it takes no time to pop it together. I take it out, and I say, here, take it for a spin. And just the little loop that he did around the parking lot, the smile on his face was enormous. And it just validates it's so much fun to get out there and ride.
Yeah. Well, and you saw that on Sunday at Ciclovia. Yeah. I mean, just people's faces. It was awesome to see. So many smiles, laughter, people getting along.
It's like a great big party, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go back to your weight loss, Mike. How about some advice? Like, I started riding, is it just a year ago? Just a year ago again, seriously. I think so. And I was motivated to lose weight and get my cholesterol under control. So there are probably lots of people have similar motivations. What would you advise somebody who's maybe a little heavy as they get on a bike? How do they get started?
Just start slowly, I think. It's helpful if you know someone who rides. I think that that's fun. They can offer some encouragement and that sort of thing. But, you know, I would say maybe try and find a used bike that's in decent condition to figure out, you know, what kind of riding you even want to do. I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to go spend $600-$700 on a big fancy road bike that maybe isn't the right bike for you. So I made that kind of mistake. I went out and bought a hybrid bike that I thought was great and quickly broke it. Cause I weighed a lot and it was just kind of the wrong bike for me. And then I, you know, went and found the right bike. But so I would say try and find a used bike.
I like that advice too. A lot of people think that they've got to go out and buy a bike right away. And I like that advice because in a little bit of time, my interest in what kind of bike changed. Mm-hmm. And my garage is finite. I only have room for so many bikes.
Yeah. The other thing too, I tell people that I never would have done it had I not loved riding my bike. Riding may not be for everyone, but don't make it work, I think. If I had to go ride my bike every day, like, oh gosh, I gotta go do it today. I don't want to do it. I wouldn't have done it. It wasn't, oh, I have to. It was, oh, I get to ride my bike today. So keep it fun, because if it's not fun, you're not going to keep up with it.
And fun would be like pick a route that you like.
Yeah. Don't put any sort of like, I have to go this far. I have to go this fast. Just go out and do it. I mean, you need to work. You need to get your heart rate up. You need to do that sort of thing. But don't force yourself to do it. Just have fun. Mm-hmm. Any sort of activity you do is going to be better than nothing.
Yeah.
When I was doing this, someone at a bike shop, I was telling them that I wanted to lose weight. And he said, you know, if you never lose a pound, but you ride your bike, you're still going to be much better off than sitting around and probably getting bigger, but at least not even exercising your heart. So even if you don't lose any weight whatsoever, you're going to be in better shape because your heart's going to be healthier. You know, I think sometimes the weight is the focus, but it's not necessarily the end goal.
Right. Your cardiovascular is going to get a boost.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think as you become sort of more interested in riding, you start becoming more interested in the fuel you're putting in. And I think as you become healthier for activity wise, your body starts to crave the healthier food.
That's nice, isn't it?
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. And then it's kind of like a vicious cycle. It's not a vicious cycle. It's a great cycle.
Virtuous.
Yeah. You start being active and then you want better food and then you have better food and you start feeling better when you're being active and it just sort of snowballs, and really works to your advantage.
So a lot of us bicycle enthusiasts, I'm sure to the uninitiated, we do sound a little bit, crazy sometimes, huh? It's great for your health and your diet and reduces traffic and reduces your stress. Sometimes I think that's hard for people to swallow when we're talking about advocacy, huh?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. We talk about all these great things that bikes can do. And I think that people have to see what the benefit is going to be for themselves. People are just selfish. I'm selfish. You're selfish. We're interested in how it's going to benefit us. But I think that that's why it's kind of fun just to focus on how much fun it is to ride a bike. Because if you can show someone that it's just a great time to ride a bike, all the other pieces will snap into place. Yeah. They'll start to realize that their pants are fitting a little bit looser, that they can go farther than they did. They'll get all that. The trick is just, I think, telling them how much fun it is and just getting them on there for that, half a mile that sort of like sparks their interest and reminds them what it was like when they were a little kid riding around.
Yeah, to get back in touch with that. I often say that to people, get on a bike and feel like a kid again. Well, what's next for you, Mike? You've got after Ciclovia, is it a lull in the action around town, or what are you going to do bike-wise next?
We're in the middle of Bike Fest here in Tucson. We do it a little bit earlier because it starts to get warm in May when everyone else is doing it. So we've got a lot on tap. Kind of the next big event is Bike to Work Week, which is April 4th through the 8th. And so the organizers set up with a bunch of local businesses, and they have bike to work stations where if you go in and show them your helmet, you can get a free burrito, breakfast burrito, or, you know, a patch kit, kind of wherever the business, whatever they do. So that's coming up. And then we've got a big new Criterium race that's going to be in downtown Tucson, which is exciting. So that's kind of the, those are kind of the big things that are happening right now. A bunch of people are organizing rides and that sort of thing to go with Bike Fest.
Yeah.
And then once that ends, then it'll be May and it'll start to get warm, and we'll all get up really early or go out really late.
That's the key, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, people are like, how can you ride when it's 110? And which I do. And I say it's only hot when you stop. You get that like kind of cooler effect when you're moving.
Right.
When you stop, it's kind of miserable. But you know, Tucsonans, we adapt to the heat and we kind of get used to it. But we also accomplish things early in the morning and late at night.
Yeah.
That's kind of when we get things done.
It's got to stay hydrated. Huh? Got to have a couple of water bottles on your bike.
Yeah. Exactly. And refill often.
Yeah. Mike, it's been nice chatting with you. Thanks for joining me on the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We're back in the studio, and once again, time to say thank you to BikeTiresDirect.com. Thank you for sponsoring this show. Well, Mike, he has the fun part down, doesn't he? He understands that part. And what weight loss, huh? That's a commitment he made. And you got to come to the website like I implied, CDMCyclist.com. I've got photos of Mike, and remember how he mentioned his daughter, how he puts her in the bike seat. The car seat, the little trailer on the back of his bike. Mike gave me a lovely photo of that. So come check that out too, please. Yeah, fun in Tucson. References to his blog and that low-stress routes around Tucson. Now, I have other interviews from my time in Tucson coming up on the show real soon. So thanks so much for listening, and tell a friend, please. Bye-bye.